we'll bring in Cliff Floyd, the MLB Network. Cliff, thanks so much for joining us. Before we talk to you, this our friend Mark Carrig on Twitter. This is, I love New York. Somebody asked Carrig is it too early for the Mets to fire Mickey Callaway and hire Joe Girardi?
That's great.
That's awesome.
I love New York.
What a great guy Mickey Callaway is, right? I mean, people fell in love with the first thing came out of his mouth on the podium. I'm like, jeez.
Now he's been on the show a couple of times. He's gonna do really well. I think it was a good hire by the Mets. Cliffy, before we talk about the World Series, are you surprised that Joe Girardi and the Yankees have split?
Actually, I'm really not. Talked to him before he went to spring training, and he gave obvious no indication that he was going to possibly not be managing past this year. But you can sort of get the idea, like you get the feeling that, you know, his son is about to start high school baseball over down here in South Florida. You know, family was weighing on him a lot. He's one of those guys that if you talk to him a little bit, you know the passion's there. But, fellas, you and I both know, I mean, you can't manage half-heartedly in that state, in that city, right? And in any city. I mean, you have to be wholeheartedly bought all in. And, you know, and anything that's going to derail you from being the best that you can be on as a manager, managing a squad, and be the family man that you want to be for your kids, it's going to tear you apart. It's just going to rip your heart out. So, you know, you can see it, especially when the situation happened in Cleveland where, you know, he didn't challenge the call and then the boys picked him up and you could see him on the podium. I mean, you know, afterwards, and his presser just showing love to the boys and tearing up. It was starting to weigh on him. So I'm not shocked. I think obviously he did a terrific job. And it's probably going to be people busting down the door to get a hold of this gig because it's probably the best gig with the best group of guys you could possibly manage. So I assume it should be relatively easy to find the next manager, but you got to get the right one that can do what Joe did because he did a terrific job with those young guys.
Before we got to talk about that, Cliff, because that is, yeah, you're right about all of that stuff. But in terms of Girardi, just to kind of put a bow on it, so you think he goes home to South Florida. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, maybe go do some TV or something along those lines, but he's going to manage again, isn't he? And you know what? And does that? There is a team in South Florida. They do have a manager. They're kind of cleaning house otherwise right now. You know, Jeff was saying in the last segment, it's kind of hard to imagine Derek Jeter firing Don Mattingly and hiring Joe Girardi. That would be kind of like a family squabble. But given what you're saying about kind of his domestic life, is that the only job you think he would be interested in right now?
Yeah, I really do. I really think that's the only job. I think that it defeats the purpose if his son is starting to play ball and he wants to be here a lot and see everything that's going on. And to me, I'm not gonna say he looked tired. Man, he looked like he could start behind the dish right now. I mean, his body looks like he's in great shape, but the inside of you is what counts. And I think coming back home and relaxing. And I don't know if he necessarily easily gets another gig if he wants it, if he takes off 2 years. Obviously, the game is changing. We're seeing younger and younger managers every day. I'm not saying Joe's old, but I'm saying you're seeing, you know, the Alex Cora's of the world, and Mickey Callum. They're getting younger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at the analytical part of this game and how these guys are going about their business, Joe's old school. Mm-hmm. And if you take 2 years off, I don't know how easy it would be, but look, I would definitely not say no to him managing again because I would think that if any owner wanted a guy that could get a group of guys on the same page 2 years from now, I think he'd be better than anybody that could possibly do that.
So, Cliff, what type of guy do the Yankees hire? Does he have to have Yankee ties? Do they go for, you know, a guy like Brad Ausmus who's out of the game? Do they maybe take a look at a guy like Kevin Cash who's still under contract? But, you know, I don't know. I mean, we've seen managers traded before. We saw it in this city.
Does it have to be somebody who's managed before?
I
would think it would have to be somebody who's managed before. I know a lot of these guys are getting jobs that have been coaches in the game, that's been bench coaches. I think experience is going to be needed in that city. Not for the simple fact that you write those names in the lineup and the guys should go out there and produce. But it's a lot of managing of not only the media, taking on, standing on the top step and people booing the heck out of you because the game is known a little bit differently over there in the Bronx than around the game in a sense. I think the experience would help. I really do. You have to have thick skin, and you're going. A new guy is going to need a lot of help. And then that would be all required for you to go get a great bench coach. So, I think the experience would definitely help. I think it would help with the young guys that are becoming young veteran players in that clubhouse, and then also a guy that can manage a great bullpen. I think Joe did a terrific job with the bullpen he had. A lot of those guys are going to be there. And you have to manage those guys right to get the maximum out of them. I don't know if it's going to be the same way we saw this year where the starters, go five and you bridge the gap with an unbelievable bullpen. But you have to manage it the right way or it defeats the purpose of what you have down there.
Just a couple of things. Sweeney Murdy, WFAN, a statement from Joe Girardi. This is a quote: "With a heavy heart, I come to you because the Yankees have decided not to bring me back." That's a statement from Joe Girardi, which would seem to be pretty clear. Brian Cashman's statement is reported by David Lennon. Quote, "I want to thank Joe for his 10 years of hard work and service to this organization. Everything this organization does is done with careful and thorough consideration, and we've decided to pursue alternatives for the managerial position. As Hal Steinbrenner and I mentioned to Joe directly this week, he has been a tremendous Yankee on the field and away from it as a player, coach, and manager. He has a tireless work ethic and put his heart into every game he managed over the last decade. He should take great pride in our accomplishments during his tenure, and I wish Joe and his family nothing but success and happiness in the future." So it really does sound as if it was the Yankees who pushed this move. And, Cliff, that would suggest they must have a name in mind already.
Well, you hope they do. Yeah. And if they push this move, maybe they saw something that maybe they didn't like, Joe said some things, that Cash and Hal didn't like, or whatever the case may be. All I know is this: what I saw from that young squad came from Joe Girardi. Now, mm-hmm. I know Brian Cashman put it together. I know he went out there and acquired these guys and made some hell of a deals to put these guys in position to be where they are today. And maybe he thinks another voice is needed. I don't know how that could be. I really don't. But who am I to question a guy that's been as great as Brian Cashman has been at the top in his capacity? But when you look at Joe and you look at how those guys responded to all the adversity that went on in the postseason, for a big guy like Aaron Judge to say that, we play better with our backs against the wall, that comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you learn at some point, but when you have a guy like Joe, that's instilled in those guys. That comes from being around a guy like Joe Girardi who can put his arm around you and tell you about some things that's happened to him in his career and in his 10 years as a manager with the Yankees. So I look at this as maybe it's coming from the Yankees. To look like, whatever the case may be. I'm not here to speculate. I just know Joe did a terrific job, and I know whoever gets this gig, it should be relatively easy. It should. I'm telling you. It's an American League team. You write the American League lineup up. There's not a lot of double switches going on. But you better be able to manage that bullpen. You don't want to lose that in no way as you move forward because, obviously, it's your bread and butter. You upgrade the pitching a little bit. And you should be right where you were this year, fighting in the postseason to come next year.
Yeah, maybe. It's funny, Cliff. I was thinking about that. It's a crazy great opportunity because you look at the youth and that talent and that team, and you also look ahead for the next couple of years, especially 2019. They're going to have money to spend. Maybe you add Bryce Harper or Machado or Josh Donaldson or somebody, right? The sky's the limit there in terms of. But, next year, I'm not sure how many of us thought they were going to make the postseason this year. Next year, it's going to, some of those guys will be a year older and more experienced, but you're going to still have questions about the rotation. A lot of things are going to have to go right, and you have to at least be in the playoffs next year, or the Heat's going to get turned up, right? Because Joe Girardi took that team to the playoffs, and what have you done for us lately? It's going to require, you know, and you always have to manage up to manage or to ownership in New York. It's not as bad as it was when the boss was alive, but that's still part of it. There are the media expectations are like nowhere else. In one sense, it's, man, I'll take that job, you know, and I can write out that lineup card, but you're going to have to deliver next year, aren't you, if you're the manager of the Yankees in 2018?
Oh, hecky, yeah, you have to deliver. And, you know, stability is man, it's something that you don't take lightly. I just believe that, not, you know, you've looked at the national situation, and where's the stability there? Right, where is it where those guys can trust that, you know, when they walk in, the manager's going to be there to put the lineup up, have the conversation that you had in spring training about getting to the end of the season and winning that chip. You know, if you don't have that, you lose players. And it is going to be pressure on that guy. So that guy that takes this gig, you know, you're thinking, the Yankees managerial job is open. And then you better think about, do I really want to put my name on that list and go on an interview and take on that responsibility and take on, you know, every night having to answer to the criticisms that's going to come if you lose 3-4 games in a row? You know, who's going to fix Dylan Patances as we move forward?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of question marks, and you're absolutely right. And we've seen windows close real quick. I mean, you know, a couple of years ago, we've been saying this for 3, 4, 5 years with the Nationals. When are they going to get there? The Pittsburgh Pirates. Didn't that window close real quick?
Yep.
I mean, these windows close, and you can have all the talent in the world. If you don't put it together and consistently go out there and adjust to whatever you might see from a rotation, adjust to whatever you might see from catching the baseball, or whatever the case may be, keeping guys healthy on the field. If you don't have that all going for you, then this year, how great they were, could be easily erased. And that's just nature of the beast. And when you're playing this game, and it's a great game, but you got to keep up with the Joneses. You got to keep up with the big boys, because these guys now are getting a taste. These young teams that are fighting every year, the second wild card comes into play, and all these teams are fighting every year to get one guy better, to get two guys better, to be in a position where they fill in exactly what we saw last night in that wonderful game.
Speaking of that wonderful game, Cliff, pardon me, I want to move on. I mean, the Houston Astros, you know, difficulty scoring runs, especially early in games this postseason. Yet you look at last night, you add it together to what they've done earlier in the postseason. They've got 7 big hits this postseason against Craig Kimbrel, Aroldis Chapman, Kenley Jansen. All of them have either been to center or opposite field. Now, I wanted to ask you, as a guy who was a good hitter, when you got a team that almost collectively is struggling to get a hit, what does it say about the Astros that not only do they snap out of it against some pretty good closers, but Cliff, they do it, you know, they're not just going up there and hammering away and pulling balls. They're going up there with a specific approach. What does that tell you about where the Astros are as an offensive team?
It tells me that, you know, they can make the adjustments on the fly. Very hard to do. You know, it sounds like it's easy. Well, you should be able to make the adjustment. No, not in the World Series, you don't. But this team has been resilient the whole year. They've been great the whole year. You look at a lot of categories where I never go to, fellas, and you know that, JB. I don't go to the analytics, but they were darn good the whole season. And average on base percentage, slugging second in the league and homers to the Yankees. A lot of their approach is one of those things where it becomes contagious as they get hotter, right? It's like one guy does it like, okay, now here we go. And, you know, you would think it starts at the top, and it did start at the top. George Springer was absolutely terrific this year. Had been struggling a little bit. Defensively, he's been great. But just getting to be a part of that last night, it might be a problem as we move forward with the rest of this World Series, because George Springer took a slider outer half. Not only did he try to get his guy to third base, but he has a dinger with it. Hit a homer.
Yeah.
You're going, holy smokes, right? So you get him going along with obviously the bottom half. And I don't even think you need the bottom half. It's just such a deep lineup. And Correa said it best after the game. And George Springer said it too. He's like, look, the depth of our lineup, we know we're a potent lineup. It's just a matter of us sort of taking a step back, not overswinging, and just basically doing what we've done all year. If they're going to say that and go out there and put on the field like they did yesterday, it's going to be tough for the Dodgers. It really is. Dave Roberts has been great. He really has been outstanding. Yesterday, I thought he had one hiccup. He took Rich Hill out too soon, bottom line it. Took him out too soon. He had 60 pitches. He gave up one run. I need him to go further. I know he has a game plan in his head. I know it's played out great. Everything has been terrific with the bullpen. Can't knock that. But Rich Hill needs to go out there another inning. Because honestly, if you had one mistake that happened, and we had it, with Stripling to come in and pitch four pitches and came out the game, it derailed all the rest of his game plan as far as how that game planned out. And you end up with Brandon McCarthy on the field, who hadn't pitched in a long time.
What, you know, Cliff, you know, you alluded to the idea that, you know, kind of hitting can be contagious with a good, especially a good team, a good offensive lineup. You know, and he felt in the 10th, the two home runs and the double, and Gurriel hitting the double even, and Gurriel hasn't had a lot of good swings in this series. But, it felt like that. It felt like those guys, after Altuve hits the home run, Correa's like an inch taller when he goes to the plate, and Gurriel goes up there. You know,
right.
But there's no logical reason. You know, hitting is fine motor skills. Each at bat, each pitch is a different thing. It's not an emotional game that way, but it does seem to work that way. Why, you know, as a player, why does that work? Why does that happen sometimes?
Well, I think the big thing is, you know, the approaches start in the dugout. Right, we all talk about what we're about to do with this guy, because obviously we get the scouting report, and then we sort of see if this guy is a tipper of his pitches. We sort of gang up on the guys on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna gang up on Kershaw, right? Like, it's kind of like, hey, it's each his own against this dude. Let's battle, and hopefully he makes a mistake and we capitalize. But when you get into certain areas of the bullpen, other than Brandon Morrow, other than Kenley Jackson, now you game planning, because these guys are scared to death in your mind. That's how it happens. That's exactly how it goes. So are you going to get the big guys all the time? Probably not. Obviously, they've 28 scoreless innings. Probably not. But when you talk about the mistakes, you know, of the other guys that are coming in, that are feeling for the baseball, trying to get an idea of you know, trying to get rid of that dry mouth. You see them on the mound rubbing the baseball up. We game plan for him, so that's when the hitting becomes contagious.
You sense the
fear. Because if we put him in a bad predicament, there you go.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you could, you know, you obviously could remind me who pitched the 10th for the Dodgers last night, but that, you know, a guy who's not normally
Brandon McCarthy.
Yeah, you know, but you get a guy, right? you get a guy who's not, you know, is not comfortable in that situation.
Absolutely.
And Fields
in the 10th gave up the two home runs
right.
and the double, right? Yeah.
Yes. Fields gave up the two homers, but you can see the look on Fields' face, right? You can see the look of not feeling comfortable, you know, because he was like, well, is this the situation I thought I was going to be in? Probably not. So you saw the look on his face. The ball was sitting there for these guys to absolutely destroy, made a mistake to Altuve, made a mistake to Correa, and ball was sitting over the middle of the plate. And when you end up in extra innings, you don't ever think you're going to be there. But when things get derailed early in the game, that's when we as hitters, we feast. Or we at least have to be able to feast if we're going to win a game on the road and steal a game. And the Astros did exactly that by stealing a game and getting back to Houston with three. And look, not getting complacent, but you feel darn good going on the plane going back to Houston.